Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to us through it. And I pray, Lord, that tonight that you'll speak through me and you'll speak to each of us. You'll challenge us, encourage us, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, of all the parables that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan would have to be one of the best and well-known and loved parables that Jesus told. And over the years, while I've been involved in children's ministry, I've looked at this parable on a number of occasions with the children. And I'd also agree that the children, they love this parable. It's one of their favourites as well. And I think the reason for that, the reason why they love this parable, is because when the opportunity arises for children to act something out, they love it. But also when the opportunity arises for children to be able to bash up someone else, they just jump at it. They make the most of it. And something else that I've noticed is that when acting out this parable with children, they've got a sibling involved as well, and that sibling happens to be the one that's the person walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. The other siblings often beg if they can be the one of the robbers to come along and bash up their sibling. It's amazing how it works out. You've got to love sibling rivalry, don't you? Siblings, they seem to be good at trying to outdo each other, pushing each other's buttons, and trying to get their siblings into trouble. And even I can remember doing that as a child, and unfortunately that behaviour seems to have passed on to our children as well. But I'm sure I'm not the only parent here that has children that try to outdo each other and all that kind of stuff as well. Well, as Jesus was developing his ministry on earth, a similar thing happened to him. It wasn't amongst his siblings. Instead, it was with the religious authorities, as they were not at all impressed with Jesus. And as a result, they became quite hostile towards him. They thought that his teaching, they thought that it contradicted their interpretation of the law of Moses. And as a result, they resented Jesus. So the religious authorities, they plotted to bring about his downfall, either by disgrace or through his death. So what exactly did the religious leaders do? Well, in Luke chapter 10, we can see that they tried to get Jesus to answer a question in such a way that they could use his answer as evidence against him. And in verse 25, we read that the expert of the law, he stood up to test Jesus. And he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And by asking this question, he was asking Jesus, what are the essential requirements of the law that I need to fulfill in order to be saved? Now, this expert of the law, he knew the Old Testament. He would have spent many years learning and studying it. And he would have known the passage that was read out to us from Deuteronomy earlier as well. But he was doing his best to trap Jesus into making some wild messianic claim. But Jesus, he didn't fall for that trap. Instead of answering the man's questions, Jesus threw the question back to him by asking him in verse 26, "What is written in the law? What is your understanding of it?" And by asking this question, Jesus is saying, "You know the law. What do you think it says?" And we read in verse 27 the man's response. As he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." And to this, Jesus replies, "You have answered correctly. Go and do this, and you will live." In other words, Jesus is saying to the man, "Good answer, now go. Put it into practice and do exactly what you have said." Now the expert, he wanted to justify himself in front of his peers. So he asked, "Who is my neighbour?" In other words, who and how much do I have to love someone? So Jesus then went on to use a parable about a man who stopped to help another person to explain this message. And we read in verse 30 that a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and then they went away, leaving him half dead. Now the trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was about a 28-kilometre journey. And if you were to take that trip, you'd have the privilege of travelling through the mountains on a very treacherous and windy road. And at times that road was quite narrow. And because it was narrow and windy and because it went through the mountains, there were lots of large rocks there as well that were located next to the road. And these rocks, they provided an excellent hiding spot for robbers and bandits. And they would attack travellers as they journeyed past. Now, in fact, this road that went from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was so bad that it had been given it a name. And that name was called the Way of Blood. It's a nice name for a road, isn't it? Anyway, well, the first character that Jesus introduces us to is a man who was travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he suffered a severe beating. He was robbed. He was left naked and unconscious on the road. Now, the next character that Jesus introduces us to is a priest. And we can see how the priest, he did not show any love or compassion to the man that was lying half dead on the road, as he failed to help him and he walked by on the other side of the road. Now, if there was anyone who would have known God's law of love, it would have been the priest. By nature of his position, love, compassion, the desire to help others, it should have been evident. But that was not the case. The next person to pass by was a Levite. And a Levite was someone who would carry out the more mundane tasks of religious worship. They were the priest's helper. And as a result, love, compassion, and the desire to help others, it should have also come naturally. But when he saw the injured man, he did exactly what the priest did, and that was to pass by on the other side of the road. Now, the next person to come along was the Samaritan. Now, Jesus, he was telling this parable to a Jewish audience. And at this time, the Jews, they did not like the Samaritans. The Samaritans, they were despised enemies, and the Jews would have absolutely nothing to do with them. So you can imagine the surprise from the expert and the other Jews who were also listening when Jesus said that it was a Samaritan that helped the injured man. The Samaritan saw someone lying on the ground who was in need of assistance. The Samaritan, he didn't consider the man's race or religion. It didn't worry him if the injured man was a Jew or a Samaritan. All he saw was someone who needed help. And that is exactly what the Samaritan did. He went above and beyond what was required of him. He bandaged the man's wounds. He poured water. He poured wine to disinfect those wounds. He poured oil to try and soothe the man's pain. He then put the man on his animal and took him to an inn so that he could recover. But the Samaritan, he didn't stop there. He then paid the innkeeper his own money. And then asked the innkeeper to take good care of the injured man, and he said that he would pay for any extra expenses on his return trip. The Samaritan saw his neighbour as anyone who was in need. And in verse 26, Jesus asked the expert if he could apply this lesson to his own life. And he says, "Which one of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert's answer to Jesus, in his answer, we can see how hard his heart really was, as he couldn't even say the word Samaritan. Instead, he refers to the Samaritan as the good man who showed mercy. And Jesus ends his passage by telling the expert to go and do likewise. In other words, he should start living what the Lord tells him to do and to put it into practice. As I said at the start, the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's a well-known and well-loved Bible story. And this is where the saying, being a Good Samaritan, comes from. But when we look at this parable carefully and when we take it seriously, it's really quite challenging. The Good Samaritan, he was travelling between two towns. Yet when he encountered the injured man, the needs of this injured man were more important than whatever it was that he was doing and whatever he was going to go and do. Because of compassion, the Samaritan, he got off his animal, he attended to the injured man and his wounds. He used wine, oil, and his own money in order to help this man recover. And as we read our Bibles, as we look at Jesus' life, we can see many other examples of where Jesus also showed compassion to those that he met. He showed the people that he loved them and that he cared for them. And in Matthew chapter 14, we read how the crowds have been following Jesus. Yet Jesus, he had compassion on them. He healed the sick. And then he went on to feed the crowds. And there was over 5,000 people there with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And in Matthew chapter 15, we read how Jesus had compassion on the crowds who hadn't eaten for 3 days. And he fed the 4,000 people with 7 loaves and 2 fish. And in Mark chapter 1, we read how Jesus, he was filled with compassion and he healed a man who had leprosy. Now, there are many other examples of where Jesus showed compassion. But what about each of us? In what ways do you show compassion to those people that you meet in your day-to-day lives? Do you go out of your way to help others who are in need, regardless of their race or religion? Do you enjoy being inconvenienced and paying the price of helping others and doing it without expecting anything in return? Now, something else that this parable made me think about is how often are we like the expert in the law? How often do we read our Bibles and then change God's commands or leave out parts so that what we read, it suits our own wants, our own desires, and our own needs? The Jews of Jesus' time, they are very racist and sexist in their outlook of life. And unfortunately, we can also be selective as to who benefits from our Christian love. We can also raise barriers as to who qualifies for our care and who doesn't. We live in a suffering world, and there are people everywhere who are wounded and who are hurting. Some have been robbed by other people and others have been left half dead as a result of their own decisions. We come across people in need in all sorts of situations and places, and we never know when an opportunity to be someone else's neighbour will arise. But when an opportunity arises, it could also be a divine appointment, because we don't know how God will use that specific situation to bring glory to his name. The Samaritan, he looked after the man who was suffering and lying half dead by the side of the road. And as he did that, he broke through the racial barrier and he put the priest and Levite to shame. He helped a man because that man had a need. He didn't help him because he deserved it. He helped him because he needed help. And that's the kind of compassion that we, as Christians, we also need to demonstrate. And I hate to say it, but I believe that we have mastered the art of insulating ourselves from the hurts of other people. And I partly blame that on the information age or digital age that we live in. Thanks to our smartphones, our tablets, our iPads, our computers and other technological devices, we have access to so much information. And as a result, we can learn about what is happening on the other side of the world so easily and quickly. And the fact that we are able to access so much information about other people who are hurting, it can become quite overwhelming to us. And as a result, we can easily change the app that we're looking at. We can look at something that is less threatening. We can look for stories that are going to make us feel good. We can change the channels on the TV. We can skip those pages in the newspaper. We can even turn off our technological devices so that we don't have to hear and learn about what is happening around the world. After all, that's an easier option, isn't it? It's less threatening, and it saves us a lot of pain and grief if we don't know what is happening elsewhere and how people are suffering. And by not listening to the needs that other people have, it doesn't cost us anything either. It doesn't cost us money, it doesn't cost us our time, and we can't help others if we don't know what their need is. But that isn't how Jesus would have responded. And it sure isn't what God has commanded us to do. As Christians, we need to show compassion. We need to respond and do whatever it is that we possibly can. And I'll be honest, that as I was preparing for today and tonight, this is the point where I paused and I had to confess to God that I was sorry, as I realised that I become good at insulating myself from the needs that others have who live around the world and locally. I can sit at our kitchen table and I can eat our hot, tasty dinner while I'm watching the news or listening to it. And I can shake my head and I can feel sad for the earthquake victims, for those who have been lost everything because of the floods, for those who are being persecuted, or those who are suffering from terrible accidents. Then I can squirt some more sauce on my sausages and I can keep on eating. I can pray a brief prayer and then I can keep on eating, and then the next headline on the news can distract me and I can forget about what it was that I'd just heard. And it was at this point that I started to feel overwhelmed and helpless by all that is occurring around the world. And I asked God, well, how can I possibly love all the hurting people in the world? There's just so many people that are hurting. And God's answer to me was, I'm not asking you to help all of them. Rather, you're to help the ones that you can. Yes, I can pray for others and for their situations that they're facing. That's something that I can easily do. I can write about it in my prayer journal so that I can continue to remember and pray for them. But just like the Samaritan, he helped his neighbour when he found the man who was lying on the ground. I can also help those that I meet in my day-to-day activities that need help. And I came across this story. A man was walking along the beach very early one morning, and he noticed a young boy ahead of him picking up starfish and throwing them back into the sea. When the man caught up with the boy, the man asked the boy what he was doing. And the boy told him that the stranded starfish, they would die if they were left in the hot morning sun. And the man smiled and said, but the beach goes on for kilometres and there's thousands of starfish on the beach. How can you make a difference? And the boy picked up another starfish and he threw it into the safety of the water and he said, I made a difference to that one. So who is your neighbour? Who is it that you can make a difference to? In closing tonight, I'd like to remind each of us of the question that the expert of the law asked back in verse 25. The expert asked, Teacher, what must I do to be saved? And in verse 27, the expert went on to say, We are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned back in Genesis, people have always struggled to love God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. And to disobey any commandment of God, including this command, is sin. None of us can keep it perfectly. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we read, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God, He knows exactly what each of us are like. He knows that we stumble. He knows that we sin. But God, He saw the need that we all have. And God had compassion on us. In John 3:16 we read, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. God, He responded to our need by choosing to send His one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus died in our place so that we could live. And as we respond, as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, God forgives us, but He also fills us with His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. And He changes our priorities so that we can do that. And as our priorities change, we'll also find it easier to love our neighbour as ourselves. So this evening, as we close, which character from the parable can you honestly relate to the most? Are you like the expert of the law, the priest, or the Levite? And do you need to put compassion into practice by loving your neighbour? Are you like the Good Samaritan who is out there loving others and helping those who have needs? Or are you like some of the others who are listening as Jesus told this parable? And you need to take steps so that you can love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And if that's you, can I encourage you to speak to someone before you leave tonight? Let's pray. Our dear God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you saw our need and you had compassion on us and you sent Jesus to save us. Thank you that we can also show compassion and love to our neighbours. And I pray that as opportunities arise, that we will respond so that we can love our neighbours in the best way possible. Help us not to be like the priest or Levite and walk past on the other side of the road. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.